This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios here, and joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline is the voice of the UNC Bears and one of the voices of the Colorado Rockies. Jerry, it's getting ready to be a crazy schedule for you coming up in for the next couple of weeks, man.
Hey, Brady, good to be on with you again. You know what, that time of year where the two sports for me come together with basketball, baseball, but you know what, I love it. I absolutely love it, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. So I do have a conflict coming up, which I'm sure we'll talk about when you and Tanner are filling in on Saturday, but otherwise I'll be able to cover both the Rockies and the Bears down the stretch here.
Yeah, well, and down the stretch, I mean, with this, let's go UNC first, Jerry. Lost to Eastern Washington. Tried to make that thing interesting in the second half. Lost two in a row now after winning three in a row. All but kind of keeps them out. And I'm looking at the standings now, Jerry. It seems like that getting into that top five, top six spot to get a first round bye, not looking like that's going to happen.
Doesn't look like it. You know, they got to win their last two games to get some help from some other teams, but that's probably a little unlikely right now. And I've said this before. I've said this on Tanner's show, and I think I've said it to you as well, Brady. But it's still a team. You know, you still got to win. You know, three, four games, and then it's a team that's dangerous. I wouldn't want to play the Bears in that first round of the tournament because they're going to upset somebody. I really believe that. And I thought they were going to win on Saturday. They actually outplayed Eastern Washington, I thought, big time in the second half. Outscored them by, I think, 8 or 9 points in the second half. So, and they should have won that game at Idaho. So they really should have won five in a row now. But it's still a dangerous team, and they're still playing good basketball. And I think we're all looking forward to the tournament no matter what seed they might be in.
Yeah, Jerry, that Idaho game was tough because it just felt like they had control for the most part of that game. Idaho would make a run, then the Bears would fire right back. But when it came down to the end of it, the Bears really just kind of ran out of gas. They didn't have enough to fire back.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty accurate. And, you know, there's some other factors, too. In the second half of that game, Idaho, which is an average free throw shooting team, I think it's 75%, hit 18 of 19 free throws in the second half.
Wow.
They were one of two in the first half at 18 per night. You know, they missed a couple free throws, a couple front ends of one and one, and the Bears win that by 6-7 points. I mean, it was fluky that way. It was a point late in the game, I think, I don't know, two minutes left maybe, where Theo Hughes missed a layup on an incredible pass by Matt Johnson. And I thought, oh, my gosh, there was an opportunity. I think it would have taken the lead back or given them a bigger lead or something. I thought, oh, no, they're shooting themselves in the foot a little bit down the stretch here. But you're right, they did run out of gas. It expended a lot of energy to stay in that ball game. And should have won that. They were up by 10 with 6 minutes to go. Like, that's one to look back on and say, that's probably one this year we really should have gotten and we didn't.
And you had a guy, you talk about the free throws. You got a guy in Devontae Moffitt, 35 points, but 9 of 9 from the free throw line. So it's tough to win. Jerry, so what does this team have to do to make this? I guess it would be. It would be a historic run if they can go all the way through the Big Sky Conference Tournament and win this thing. We know Dalen Kuntz is going to have a good game. We know Matt Johnson, for the most part, is probably going to have a good game. Dalton Knecht has been putting together great numbers. What's it going to take outside of those three guys for the Bears to make a run?
It's going to have to be someone else besides those three, because you can count on those guys, you're right, to step up. And that might be Riley Abercrombie, who's had a couple of great games shooting the three. It might be somebody coming off the bench like Caleb Shaw with some big baskets for you. They're just not getting that off the bench. I mean, they're fairly deep. They go to nine players, but they aren't productive coming off the bench. And I think that's what's got to happen. You can't play those big three 40 minutes every game or you're going to get in trouble, especially in a tournament when you play every single day. So they're going to have to get some help off the bench. You're going to have to get those guys, the starters, rested during a game and get some contribution offensively. They play okay. Connor Creech and some others come in, and you know, Brock Wisney coming off the bench, they play okay defensively. Brock gets into foul trouble. We know that, but a lot of freshmen do. Oh, they're fine defensively. They just get no production off that bench offensively.
Yeah, and that's, you're right. That's going to be where we're really looking at who can step up outside of those guys. Two games left in the regular season, Jerry. You're with the spring training crossover because what, the Rockies on Saturday? Is that right? Their first spring, their first game of spring training.
Yep, exactly. Playing exactly the same time UNC's playing on Saturday.
So I get Tanner stepping in, and I decided to throw my hat in the ring and sit next to him and call that Northern Arizona game. So that should be interesting. We'll be missing you, man, but we'll try to do our best here coming up this weekend.
You know what? I'm excited about the upgrade. We can upgrade in talent for that game. So let's go, Brady.
Who's
play-by-play and who's color? Are you switching off?
Tanner's play-by-play. I don't know. I think I've done play-by-play for like a quarter of a high school game like 30 million years ago. So I'm going to let him do it, and I'll do the easy part. How about that?
You guys are going to sound great. I won't be able to listen live, but hopefully I can hear some highlights from Micah later on.
I'm sure Micah will provide some highlights, maybe the lowlights of our call anyway. But hopefully the Bears win and people aren't really worried too much about nitpicking us on the broadcast. Jerry Schimmel joining us, voice of the Bears, voice of the Rockies. Rockies getting rolling, man. We got spring training. So, Jerry, my poll question today, I looked up on DraftKings just to see what the over-under win total is going to be for the Rockies. We're sitting at 65.5. Where are you sitting with this team? And let's talk about this Rockies team for a bit.
Yeah, right. I didn't know it was going to be that low. I was thinking 68 or 69. I'm glad you primed me on that one. Boy, I tell you what, you never know with this team. And I always say this, you go into a baseball season, Brady, you know this, same way in every sport. There are teams that you think are going to be really good and they disappoint. There are teams you think aren't going to be any good and they seem to grab lightning in a bottle. And just got a hunch it's the Rockies. I mean, it's had such bad luck the last several years that the baseball gods got to be smiling at some point. So if I'm a betting man, and I'm not, but I would certainly pick over 65 games. I just think they're better than that. I don't know if they're going to be what Dick Monfort hopes they can be, and that's a 500 team, but I think they have a chance to flirt with that. And I just don't see them winning 65. I see them winning a lot more than that. So things have to come together, but their pieces, the starting rotation has some good pieces to it. There are some reliable guys. There's a productive second baseman. There's a very productive first baseman. Hopefully Charlie Blackman has something left. You got an exciting young shortstop. So I think that the pieces are there. They certainly have to fall the right way for this team to be competitive.
Yeah, who do you think? I mean, we talked a little bit, Jerry, I think last week or the week before about Chris Bryant, and obviously we're watching his health. That's the big one with him. But, you know, you kind of told us, hey, seems like he's good to go right now. We'll see. Things can change there. But when you look at that roster, who's somebody there that you look at and say, man, we need to see something from this guy? Is it like a Ryan McMahon kind of guy? Brendan Rodgers, who started off a little rough, and Tanner wrote him off, and then that was the kiss of death, and Brendan Rodgers was amazing. So who do you look at on that roster and say, man, this guy I really want to see step up and kind of rebound from last year?
Yeah, I think that would be Ryan McMahon for me, and you sort of planted that seed, but I think that really probably is the guy. They could use a little more production from a catching standpoint. They didn't get much offense that way, but I think Ryan's going to be the key. You know, he had a great season 2 years ago. He's an extremely talented left-handed hitter with a quick bat, with power, great third baseman who had some crazy errors last year that are just so unlike him. So I look for a big bounce back for him. I think Chris Bryant, if he's healthy, remains that way, which it looks like he is, and hopefully we knock on wood that he continues, is going to be a force offensively. He's going to fit in Coors Field very well. I think the team was at 20-22 when he played last year, so he just provides so much in the middle of that lineup that it makes everybody else around him a little bit better offensively. But I think there is one guy I would point at to answer your question. It certainly would be Ryan McMahon.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning that way too, Jerry. How about the starting rotation, the pitching rotation here? When you look at, you know, Marquez and Freeland, I think for a couple of years now we've been saying, okay, those two guys got to lead this thing. And you know, you're done with John Gray last year, and all these other guys coming in. You're piecing it together, but I think the one thing we've always come back to is it starts with those two pitchers.
It does. They have to be more consistent. And, you know, I thought there was a very good article written by Patrick Saunders yesterday about Kyle Freeland. and that he had that great year in 2017, and he's struggling to find that again. And he went 17-7. I think he was fourth in the National League in Cy Young voting, and he's never really matched that. So he's got to get more consistent. He's the first one to admit it. He said this in the article. It's quoted as saying, "I've got to get more consistent. I can't have these ups and downs, these great pitching games, and then I get blown up in the first inning the next time out." And Airman Marquez the same way. And those guys, when they're on, we know how good they can be. And especially Marquez, it can be dominating, but they're just up and down, and they have been that way the last couple of years, especially Airman last year. So those two definitely have to lead the way, Brady, and I think to do that, they've just got to be more consistent.
Jerry, what are some of the things you look for when you get into spring training? Because it's a long preseason, essentially, but some of those things that you're looking at that you want to see from this team in games that matter but don't matter.
Yeah. There are a couple things. Number one, you're always keeping your eye on the young guys, you know, on the prospects. And if they're not playing in a game that you're broadcasting, you're able to go watch them play on a side field or take batting practice. So the prospects, probably the top 5 or 10 prospects, if they're available to be watched, I like to do that and just get a glimpse of those guys and see what the future might hold. I think everybody kind of looks at the veterans and makes sure they haven't gotten overweight during the off season. You know, you take a mental image and they go, okay, well, that guy looks like he's in shape or he's picking up where he left off. I think with pitchers, especially young guys, you look for velocity early on. And if you see a decrease in velocity, then you have a little concern, I think, there. Otherwise, I think you just look for guys that are finding their groove pretty quickly in spring training. And that it's not always easy, especially, and we'll keep our eye on Charlie Blackman. You know, what's Charlie's swing look like? Is he making great contact early in camp, or is it going to take a month to get his swing down? So you look at little things like that, and I think you also look at new guys that have come in, what their personality might look like, what kind of clubhouse guy they might be, and then you sort of assess things as a group after that.
Well, we'll be looking forward to your broadcast and your assessment as we follow along with this team. Jerry, you got a lot of opportunities to be terrible because you're broadcasting the Bears and the Rockies, but I know that's not in your DNA. So just don't do it, man. Don't be terrible.
Okay. I know what the rules are. Don't be terrible. So I'm going to say the same thing for you guys on Saturday, you and Shannon.
I'm already anticipating terribleness coming up, Jerry, very much so. So we'll see. But
don't,
you know,
don't
what?
Break the station rules, buddy. Don't do it.
Well, you know, I figured if we're terrible, then it's just going to make people really appreciate you even more when you come back next week. So that's kind of my thinking there.
Well, that's a good way to look at it, I guess. And I appreciate that.
Low expectations, and who knows? You never know what'll happen after that, man.
You know, I'm not hoping you guys are terrible, but if you are, it might make me feel a little bit better.
Jerry, my man, I appreciate you so much, and we'll be looking forward to those calls with the Rockies, of course, and then getting you back, you know, with the Bears coverage starting next week.
Sounds good, Brady. Thanks for having me on. Great to talk to you.
You too, my friend. Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Rockies, the voice of the Nuggets. A little inside joke there. I think that was my motivational speech for Jerry when he started with us was, hey, just don't be terrible. 11:49 the time. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about the Rockies, Angel? Tanner's firing up your old bus, dude. Are you in on this? Are you getting in on that bus?
I'll have to see how they start because I jumped on the bus last year when they went 3-1 to start the season, beating the Dodgers. So that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was.
I think they have like 7 road games to start, so we'll see how they do.
Yeah, when I talk to Jerry, I kind of get excited because, listen, I'm kind of out of the Rockies until day one of the season. Spring training, it's a gigantic preseason. So I don't take anything from it. Even if, you know, young guys pop on, they might be looking great, but I'm not really getting into it until the start of the season. But when I listen to Jerry, I do get a little excited. Look at like Ryan McMahon. Can you step up? I mean, you signed a big contract a couple of seasons ago. Can you be that big time player? Can Brendan Rodgers do it all season? I'm telling you, he was terrible to start, and then Tanner's like, get rid of him, and then boom, he's amazing. Maybe Tanner should be against the Rockies. That would be the best key.
It tends to work for him.
But it all goes back to pitching, and can Marquez deliver? Can Kyle Freeland deliver? You know, it starts with those two guys. You know, bringing back your closer and Daniel Bard, who was, He was the bright spot. He was the most consistent bright spot of the season for the Rockies. Is that enough for this team? Over under 65.5 wins. Go vote at theholeshow.com. We'll talk more about that. More about the All-Star game and everything else that went with the weekend that was coming up a little bit later on the show. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Radio, there was nothing going
down at all. Not at all. Several teams, one goal, win it all. Hear high school basketball playoffs on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.